Hi, welcome to This Is Your Book Club podcast. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Jamie.
So good to be here.
Hello.
We have been busy.
Maybe not reading. Too busy around here.
Not getting a lot of time to read.
I'm not even sure what's going on. Why? Like,
what else am I doing?
I keep thinking, oh, next week it's going to slow down. Yep. Next week I'm going to be able to read.
Mm-hmm.
It's not happening.
It's okay. Sometimes I feel the same. We'll get into that later. But
yeah,
we'll talk about what books we've read or not read in a moment. Jamie,
yeah,
do you have a fun fact?
Let's just jump to what I do have.
That would be great.
Which
I might
is
get too sad with a the fun fact
because I don't have much else today for you. But Amy Tintera.
Yes.
Is the author of our book for the month of May, which is Listen to the Lie. Listen for the Lie.
Listen for the Lie. I am ready.
You're ready. I'm not, remember?
Oh, yeah.
Anyway.
Sorry.
Amy Tintera, she is the author of our May book. And I just was looking at her website and just looking over her bio, which is what I'm going to read for you today. But she has... This is her first adult novel. She has written several teen novels. This one is her first for adults.
Ooh.
So I know we talked last week that she had a lot of other books out, but they all looked kind of fantasy or sci-fi.
Yes.
And so, yeah, they are a different genre of this one. She says she started writing novels as a kid during her middle school science class.
I love that so much.
Which I love that you're like, I am so bored with this. I'm just going to start writing stories.
Why not?
But then she says that's probably why she's not so good at science. But you know
yes,
what?
Yes, that's okay.
You can always read more about science the
everyone.
Rest of your life. Or, right, we yeah. have, we have there are other people can have that specialty. You have the specialty of writing. So
absolutely.
You were honing your craft at a very young age. Which, Listen for the Lie, it was an instant New York Times bestseller and a Good Morning America book club pick.
Awesome.
She has a bachelor's degree in journalism from Texas A&M and a master's degree in media arts screenwriting from Emerson College. She worked as a talent agency assistant in Hollywood before becoming an author. Raised in Austin, Texas, she frequently sets her novels in the Lone Star State, but she now lives in Los Angeles, where there's far less humidity. Oh, hallelujah for you, because that's my least favorite thing about Texas. But not nearly enough Tex-Mex.
I love Tex-Mex so much.
Me too.
Yum.
So, there you go. We just need more Tex-Mex in places that are less humid. I agree.
I know. Why don't we have more here?
We do need more.
We're
good
Utah.
Stuff.
We're
right.
like Tex-Mex.
Close enough.
Right?
We're the West.
I agree.
So we should have Tex-Mex.
I think it would be well received.
I agree. And so there's an idea for you Utah listeners. Open up a Tex-Mex. We'll be there.
I agree.
Right? Anyway, that's my fun fact for you today.
And I love that.
I will find more for next week. You're welcome.
All right. Let's take a quick break. And now we're here ready to talk about books.
Okay. Or not books.
True.
That for too. Me. Not so much for me this week, but I do have some books to talk about, just not my typical amount.
Yes.
Of books.
I only have two today.
Okay, well.
Because I will say I've been reading, and I'm sure I will talk about it soon, but I am in the midst of Iron Flame, which, in case you weren't sure, is a 28-hour audiobook.
I just don't even know that I can start. So I'm on the wait list for the first one in this series. I actually checked it out once before and returned it because they're so long.
They're so long. It's hard to invest this amount of time.
So knowing that it's that long.
I will say, like, I do very much enjoy it. I don't regret the time that I'm spending listening to it. It does give me a little twinge when, like, on Goodreads, it's like, you are two books behind schedule. I'm like, no, you should count this as three books.
Goodreads, don't ruin this.
I do think, yeah, I enjoy it. It's so far so good. It's just taking me a long time. Because
well, It's a long book. Yeah. It's a long book. And we're busy. Yeah. You're busy. So
come on.
Anyway. Okay. Well, I have a couple books to talk about today. Okay. Do you want me to get started or do you want to get started?
Either way.
The first one, I'll jump in.
Okay.
I'll take over. Sorry.
Please do.
I hope I'm not being too bossy. The first book I'm just going to touch on because you talked about it recently.
Okay.
The Secret Book of Flora Lee by Patty Callahan Henry.
Mm-hmm.
I finished this one last week and I gave it 4 stars.
Okay.
I really enjoyed the historical aspect of it. It's historical fiction. The plot is the two girls, and you talked about this, so I won't go deep into it. Two sisters who, in a tough situation, World War II, and they're separated from their mom. So there was this whole, Pied Piper. Which I did not know this. The whole plan was when things became too dangerous in London, that they were going to put Mission Pied Piper in place, which is they sent all the children away to other areas that were safer.
More rural areas.
And had families that were going to take them in.
And they, like, then the people in the rural areas were like, to serve your country, you need to. And they were given money and rations.
Right.
To do so.
So these families put their kids on trains, mm-hmm. not knowing where they were going. They just went, and then people would come and pick kids up and take them to their farms or to their homes or whatever. And then supposedly the people were to write a letter to their parents so that their parents knew where they were. Now, in the case of these girls in this story, they were able to do that and write to their mother, and their mother was able, when she could, to come down and visit them periodically. So best case scenario for them until other things happen. But historically, that's not the case for everyone. And there are a lot of children from this Pied Piper mission that were never reunited with their parents who went missing.
Mm-hmm.
Just these lost children, which is so sad.
It is so sad.
But Flora and her sister went and lived in this house, and it was a good situation. They made mm-hmm. good friends with the people around them.
Mm-hmm.
And to take their mind off of missing their mom and the war, they came up with this fantasy land, these stories that were only ever between the two of them. And later on in life, I don't even remember that sister's name.
I can't remember their name either.
But Flora Lee is the younger sister, and she's the older sister. And later on in life, her sister went missing. And later on in life, this book shows up in a rare bookshop that she was working at. And it is similar, if not the same stories. And she has to investigate how these stories came about, who found these stories, that it was just too coincidental to be completely made up stories. It had to be hers and Flora Lee's stories. So anyway, I liked it. I liked the twists and turns. Mm-hmm. I liked the historical aspect of it. And just a little bit different of World War II.
Yes, definitely.
And something new that I hadn't really heard about.
Yes.
Pertaining to the war. I mean, it didn't talk a lot about the war. That was in the background.
Sure.
I really liked it. 4 stars.
Thank you. Awesome.
So thank you for the recommendation, Sarah.
Yeah, it was good.
I really enjoyed it.
Awesome. I love that. Good.
What did you give it?
I believe I did the same.
Okay.
Are you there?
I just didn't see your name pop up under friends. Oh, wait. More friends and followers. You gave it 4 stars.
Yeah. I was going to say, I thought I did.
Yeah. And there's 2 other people that follow me that 4 stars and 5 stars. So
awesome.
Oh, and then one that gave 3 stars, actually. So, yeah.
All around. But all
around.
Higher.
High. Yeah, that's a good recommendation. So
absolutely.
I will continue that recommendation. Pass it on.
Awesome. I love that. Okay. The first book I'm going to talk about tonight, today, whenever you are listening.
At your leisure.
This morning. Is Die with Zero. Getting All You Can from Your Money and Your Life by Bill Perkins. this is kind of like a motivational, it's self-help, maybe. I really don't know how you classify it. How to live your life. How you should live your life.
How to. Okay. Yeah.
I don't even know who Bill is and what makes him like someone I should listen to.
Okay. But where did you get the recommendation?
The recommendation came from a friend of mine who I would love to take. Like, I love her recommendations. And I was like putting it on the list like right away when I saw her post it saying that she loved it. Words to Live By, I think she said. And so I put it on my list. I really enjoyed this book mostly because it really did give me some new and different perspectives than I've had about like when to spend my money, how to spend my money, what is the best way that can achieve the goals that I want for my money.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the idea behind this book is that you want to die without any money in your bank account. You don't want to go in the hole. You want to be negative money.
Right.
But you shouldn't have anything left over. The goal at the end of your life should be zero.
So no inheritance to pass on.
No. And it's not that you shouldn't give money to your children or the people that you love and care about. It's just, why are you waiting until you die to do that? Right. Okay. The idea is more, you want to do the, you want to have the biggest impact with your dollar. So the biggest impact, if you, you know, he goes through all the statistics of most people die in their 80s, let's say, but that means their children, if you're in your 80s right now, your children are generally in their 60s.
Okay.
And late 50s, 60s. And for you to give them money now at that point in their life, that's a low impact. Most people are financially stable at that point in their lives. And right. more money for them is not necessary. Their spending is going down while their money is growing.
Right.
So you're not having a very big impact. Like, yeah, it's nice. Sure. Mm-hmm. Everybody's like, thanks, money.
Yeah.
But it's actually a low impact. Like, it's not the kind of impact that you're going to have if you give it to your children at a time in their lives when they need it. Like, he says, like 25 to 35, 28 to 32, when they're fiscally responsible, they understand how to manage money, mm-hmm. but they're not on their feet. They don't have any money yet.
They have
a lot of needs.
So it would help and get them on their feet.
It would have the biggest impact in their lives.
Interesting.
At that point.
That is so interesting.
Also, trips. Everybody waits. They're saving and saving and saving because once they retire, they can go live their best life. But the reality is our bodies are no longer in a state that they can enjoy these vacations at the same level that a younger body can. It just isn't. It's just not. There's nothing you can say.
How often do you hear of someone who retires and now their plan is to go travel?
Yes.
And then 2 months later, brain tumor or
happen.
And gone within a year, you know?
Yeah.
So take the vacation. It's so sad.
He says, like, the older that you get, like his feelings are, the older that you get, the more your enjoyment comes from memories of the experiences that you've already had in your life, the looking back and the remembering the good things.
So do those experiences.
You want to build younger the memories
when you're healthy, mm-hmm. and then be able in your old years when you've slowed down to reflect upon the memories you've built.
Yes.
Am I understanding that correctly?
Okay. So it's very interesting. And you know, he talks a lot about people who are very wealthy and have like this high level of wealth that I personally don't experience. But it was interesting to see even his thoughts on that. People who work and work and work and work after they've reached a certain income amount and that now their money is making money, so much money that they couldn't spend it so fast enough.
Right.
They're making more than they can spend. And yet they continue to work and how it's actually not the right thing to do. You're wasting your life. It's not the biggest impact for your money. You need to stop and do other things. And he talks about the many things you can do with your money. It was super interesting. It certainly, yeah. I won't tell you all these. I'm just touching, right, on the things. And he goes a lot deeper than I am with these ideas. It was just like, very eye-opening for me to
totally
think,
different way of thinking.
You don't think I should save my money?
Right.
Wait. You know, it was just different. And And that's not always the case. He reminds you throughout the book, you don't want to be so far in the hole that you're in trouble. But right. How do we balance spending and saving properly so that we don't...
Right.
So we're utilizing the best life. We are creating right. the best life for ourselves.
Right.
It was interesting.
That is very interesting.
It was interesting. There were certain things that I'm like, yeah, that doesn't really apply to me. I don't make that much money. Right. right in right. this book. And then there were other things that I thought that really made me stop and think, like, am I living my best life right now? I don't know.
Yeah.
It was good. It was good. It definitely made me think, which I appreciate.
Yeah.
So I gave it 4 stars.
Awesome.
It's called Die with Zero by Bill Perkins.
You know, and I think we need more financial literacy.
Like absolutely.
That. I think our generation lacked a little bit there. At least I do.
I agree.
I feel like a lot of people I'm around are in the same boat as me, as we're just trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
And
what is the sweet spot?
Right. Yeah.
I don't know.
Don't I just need more?
Don't I just need more?
I'm just going to keep working and working and
Isn't
working.
Isn't that what right. we need to do?
Always
so
need
that
more.
Was super interesting. He like talks about learning how to figure out, and he has like an equation for it,
mm-hmm.
where you should stop.
Mm.
Because you don't want to spend a day more working than you need to.
Yeah. Which I love that idea.
Yeah.
But the idea that I'll have enough money and be able to
stop. He said that. He said people are afraid. Yeah. All their decisions are fear-based.
Uh-huh.
Because what if I run out of money?
Right. What if I get sick? And what if I have to be in a care center? And what if I, like all the what ifs of the unknowns of life.
Yeah.
So to prepare, it's hard to prepare the unknowns.
Right. He says a lot about it. He goes through all of that.
Yeah.
And I won't tell you his secrets.
Interesting. Okay.
It was very interesting. I'd love to hear like other people's feelings about it, because it is one of those books that probably will give you feelings.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. The next book that I am going to talk about is called Angela's Ashes by Frank McCourt. This, I don't even know where I got this book from, what list, what anything, but boy, it kind of just blew me away. It is the story of, so Frank McCourt was born in the United States. He was born in Brooklyn, and he was born to Irish immigrants, and his mom and dad were not doing well. As immigrants in Brooklyn, they were struggling. They were trying really hard, like all immigrants do when they get here. And it was him and his brother, I believe, at the time. And they just weren't making it. Some things happen, and it just wasn't looking great. And the dad decided, we're going back to Ireland. Now, Ireland at this time, this is like the Depression area, 1930s. So back in Ireland, they go, and Ireland is not doing great. I actually believe it was during England is fighting Ireland. So not necessarily a civil war, but a war between the two countries. Anyway, so in Ireland, there is not a lot of jobs, not a lot of opportunity, not a lot of food. And people, I mean, it's like the Depression, like in the United States, people are struggling. There's nothing. The government is doing what it can to help people out. Like there are rations you can go and get. You can get these, you go pick up your check. They call it something, but it'd be like a welfare check. And only the husband could pick up the welfare check.
Oh.
And so the husband would go get it, and then he'd go spend it in the bar and come home with nothing. So he was an alcoholic, spent a lot of their money in the bar. And so the wife was like, no, I'm going with you to get that check. But that would be humiliating as the man have your wife go with you. And so it was like this machismo, macho man type thing. Like we can't have things look any different. We can't look pathetic or less than. but we are not doing good, and he is just spending money in the bar.
He has no self-control.
Meanwhile, they're having children after children because also his belief, I mean, they're Irish Catholic.
No birth control.
We are having children. This is my job as a man. This is our duty as a couple. We are having all of God's children. So she just keeps having more and more and more children, and yet can't feed the family, can't do anything.
My God.
And so this is the story of his life, of Frank's life. And he wouldn't even tell his story when he grew up because he was so embarrassed about it. And he finally opens up and starts talking, you know, and starts writing these stories down. And he is an amazing writer. This is a simple story. It's so simple that it's so beautifully written in such a simple way.
Yeah.
Like I really feel like I can see the streets. I can see the situation. I can feel the direness of where they lived. Like they live in they move quite a few times, but these apartments that they have shared bathrooms, and they're tiny apartments. They have to go down the hall to the bathroom, and one turns out to be like a really good situation. It appears they have their own bathroom, but it's not theirs, come to find out, but it's right next to them. And so everyone who comes with their pots to dump them in the bathroom brings that smell with them. So this apartment that they're now in just smells.
That is horrific.
It floods during the rainy season. So they have to stay upstairs because the bottom floor is wet. Like just unreal. Childhood.
Wow.
Yes. Living conditions. Dad ends up leaving the family. And so mom is on her own with all of these children. And it's Frank's story of the need to get out of this situation and what he does with his life to get out of it. And it is super impressive. I mean, I think children can be so incredibly resilient in these situations they did not choose or ask for.
Yeah.
They're just put in, and some aren't resilient and continue the cycle. And then there are those that are able to pull up and get out of it. And Frank's is a really good story. While I was just looking at it, you know, it kind of ends abruptly. All of a sudden I was like, wait, what? It's over? I want to know more about Frank's life.
Oh, interesting.
As I was looking at it on here before we started recording, there is a number two and a number three.
Oh.
They don't get the acclaim that this first one does. So I'll have to read them and find out. But the second one is called Tiz. And then the third one is called Teacher Man. So
interesting.
I will put those on my list and report back.
Very interesting.
But I highly recommend this one.
It sounds really good. I was just looking it up.
Wow. I gave it 4 stars.
It's excellent reviews. Like
really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It was a great one. So
cool.
Yeah.
All right. The last one I'm going to talk about is Ready or Not by Cara Bastone. This has the cutest cover, in case you're wondering.
Oh, that is really cute.
It looks like a little meet cute. Absolutely. Like little friends walking down.
But fun colors.
Yeah.
Like a meet cute, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. Like with a New York street, maybe. Anyway, and they are in New York, so that makes sense. This is the story of Eve. And you find Eve, within the first pages.
Mm-hmm.
In a doctor's office, finding out that she is pregnant.
Okay.
Eve is single and does not have a boyfriend or a husband or any other person in her life. But, you know, about a month ago, or 6 weeks ago, whatnot, she did have a one-night fling with a bartender. So there's no question in her mind when or where this happened.
Uh-huh.
But it is still a very shocking surprise for her. She is, just a little background about Eve. She is the baby of her family and an oops child herself by like 15 years, More than that, I think all of her, she has three older brothers, and they were all out of the house when her mom and dad got pregnant with her. They were starting empty nester phase and found out they were pregnant. She was raised, it was a little different for her, right? Kind of only childish, but like the only child, but also her parents were all done. Like they were older and not super around or invested or parenting.
Right, right.
So she spent a lot of time with her best friend at her best friend's house. And her best friend had a brother who was also big, became one of her dear friends.
Mm-hmm.
And she just adored her mom. Now her parents have passed. And recently, more recently, this best friend's mother has passed, who felt more like a mother to her because she was young and parenting
mm-hmm.
when she was always at her home and helped her grow up and mature and all the things.
Right.
So she's feeling very sad to not have her, these people around that she loves, and not sure how she's going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
So we get to watch Eve, and it's as she is pregnant, as she tells the man that she's pregnant, she tells her best friend that she's pregnant, and as she figures out what she's going to do and how everyone feels about that.
Yeah.
It is interesting because it does feel like a romantic comedy.
Mm-hmm.
But it is. But there's also this real life situation happening to her.
Right.
Right? Like a baby is coming.
Huge. It's huge.
Right.
It's life-changing.
Yes. And she kind of befriends the doctor's nurse uh-huh. that she sees regularly, you know, at all of her appointments. And she's like very straight up with her about what she's going to be experiencing, pregnancy hormones, food cravings, all the things. And she kind of lays it out there like, you can't trust your feelings right now because, you know, everything is heightened when you have hormones. And these are crazy right now.
Any major decisions right yeah. now.
And so yes. she's constantly questioning her feelings. Like, is this just the hormones? You know, there's just real. So being pregnant before, mm-hmm. having been pregnant before, and reading this and kind of understanding where she's at psychologically. I mean, I've always had a spouse when I was pregnant. I never had to make those kinds of decisions. But it made it really enjoyable. And I felt deeply for her. I really liked Eve.
Okay.
You know, she yeah. was clearly trying to make the right decision for herself. And even though she didn't even know what that looked like. And it's very good. And it's really sweet. I gave it 4 stars.
Wow.
I really liked it because it yeah. felt light and fun like a romantic comedy would.
Mm-hmm.
But also very real and you know, it just had all of the chords that keep you grounded
right.
in a story that instead of just yes, instead of just being
relatable.
So flighty and unrealistic.
Yeah.
It felt very realistic.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed it.
I like a good one like that.
Yes. I would recommend this one for sure. I will say, just like caveat, there are a couple of scenes that are spicy.
Some spice.
In case you need to be just have so a heads up about that.
Yeah.
You can fast forward or you can avoid. But there are a couple.
There's your spice one.
Yeah. It's called, just a reminder, it's called Ready or Not.
Okay. Well, fantastic.
Yeah. Hopefully there's something.
For the day.
Yeah. Hopefully there's something that you can add to your list today.
I hope so.
Right. You can find us on Instagram or Facebook.
You can email us at thisisyourbookclubpodcast@gmail.com.
Please rate and subscribe. Share with your friends.
Thank you to Amphibia Zoo for our music.
Now, go read a book. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Jamie.
And this is your book club.